Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to zoom in on our gospel lesson. We're going to travel back more than 2,000 years ago. Back before there were cell phones, internet, television, cars, paved roads, trains, before there was America. And we arrive on a quiet dirt road that led from Jerusalem to a small town named Emmaus. Along this road, we see two men walking side by side. They were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. They were downcast and they were confused. They had seen Jesus die, and yet now there were some people saying that he was alive. They didn't know what to think. They had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But they never saw anyone raise himself from the dead. So they began their journey home. You can see the stones turn under their feet as they walk along the dirt road. Their downcast eyes turned to look, for while they were walking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He was just another stranger walking along beside them. They were too focused on their troubles to recognize that this man had just risen from the dead. In your troubles, do you sometimes act as if God isn't there? As they walked a couple of paces under the late afternoon sun, Jesus finally asked, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" The very question brought them back to their gloomy thoughts. They stopped walking as if to let the stranger know that they were about to tell him something very serious. They stood still, looking sad. They didn't even know if they had enough energy to start their conversation over again from the beginning with this stranger. After all, their only hope was dead, or so they thought. Then finally, one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" His answer, it conveyed his distress, but it didn't faze Jesus. "What things?" Jesus asked. Jesus obviously knew what they were discussing, but he wanted them to discuss these things with him. In the same way, Jesus knows all of your sin, your doubt, your fears, your depression. But he still wants to hear from you. He wants you to share these things with him. Are you ever like the men on the road to Emmaus, just too overwhelmed to let God know the things that you are going through? Do you hold on to your fears, doubt, depression, and sin as if you were all alone? Jesus cares about your struggles, and you are not alone. Talk to him, for he cares for you. The men in our gospel began to share with this stranger the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They told him he was a man, that this man was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And as the two men talked, Jesus listened. They shared their hopes that they had hoped he would have been the one, but obviously he was not. They shared their fears, knowing that the same people that killed him were probably now out to get all of the followers of Jesus. And they confessed their doubts. And they didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. Otherwise, they would have stayed to see him. And Jesus listened to the two men intently without interruption, as he does with us when we pray. And then when the men had no more to say, he said, "O foolish ones, slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." After Jesus' immediate response to the men's doubt, he answered them with the word of God. I always find it intriguing that Jesus doesn't just say, "Ta-da, it's me, cheer up." No, he takes them to the scriptures. And when we hear preaching, God is answering our prayers just as he answered the prayers of these men with his word. When we read the Bible, Jesus is showing himself to us. This is God's love for the world, saying, "Here is where I love you. Here is where I fulfill this need that you have." That's why it's important that we spend time in prayer, that when we spend time in prayer, we also spend time reading God's word. For that is where God answers our prayer. All of Scripture speaks of Jesus, and he is the Heavenly Father's answer to our prayer. Remember, in Colossians 1, it says, "In him all things hold together." Finals week? My struggles at my job? My relationships that are falling apart? My troubles at home? "In him all things hold together, making peace by the blood of his cross." He's the answer to my need, to your need. He is our daily bread. He is our forgiveness of sins. He is our kingdom come. In Jesus, our despair is replaced with hope. In Jesus, our death is replaced with eternal life. As Jesus talked to the men, they listened attentively. It said later that their hearts were aglow within them, for he was answering their prayers by revealing himself to them in the scripture. The time zoomed by, and in their distraction, they did not realize how far they had actually traveled. In fact, they were almost home. They drew near to the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly. They didn't want it to end. "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. You can't get anywhere now. Stay with us." They didn't want their time with this man to end, not because of who the man was, but because of who he was revealing to them: Jesus of Nazareth. For in the scriptures, they were understanding that Jesus was indeed alive. And he was so much more than they had ever imagined. They were at peace and they did not want this time to end. They urged him to stay. And so he went in to stay with them. Jesus will stay with you as well. He speaks to us through his word any time we open up the Bible, seeking Jesus as its fulfillment. In the scriptures, Jesus speaks with us like he did with the men on the road to Emmaus. When they got to where they were going, they sat down at table to eat. Once everything was prepared, the two men sat down with Jesus, who they knew only as a stranger. And when Jesus was at table with them, he took bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. When Jesus broke bread, he actually gave these two men himself in the Lord's Supper. When Jesus did this, their faith increased, and they were able to see him clearly, even though they couldn't see him at all. In the same way, we recognize Jesus in the Lord's Supper today. When he gives himself to us, we receive the forgiveness of sins, our faith is increased. In the supper, we see a king who laid down his body and shed his blood, so that we can have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The whole world sees bread and wine. We see God in flesh and blood. In the supper, we recognize our Savior, Redeemer, Friend, and answer to all our prayers. And after Jesus gave himself to these two men, something amazing happened. They forgot about all their plans. Remember, they had said, the day is far spent. You can't get anything done. And it says, instead they rose that very hour and ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were gathered with them, gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. They told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread in the Lord's Supper. They could not keep their excitement inside. They had to share it with others. Jesus was the answer to their despair, and they had to spread that hope. Jesus answers your prayers as well. And this changes things. You too can share your joy with others. You too can tell others, Jesus has risen from the dead. You can tell others how you recognize him in the Lord's Supper and how you wish they could see him in the same place. This is how the joy is spread through nothing more than word of mouth. Think about how you came to faith. I personally came to faith by hearing Grandma and Grandpa talk about Jesus. They were sharing with me not their own imaginations, but the Word of God. And I think about how I became a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It was my buddy who said, you can come to church with me. And I remember the day that upon taking those information classes, and I said, yep, I recognized Jesus in that supper. And I partook of the Lord's Supper. The joy was spread just through conversation. Conversation with Grandma and Grandpa back in the day. Conversation with Chad Van Meter, my close friend, later on. As we travel back from that hope of eternal life that those men first saw, as we travel back to the 21st century from our gospel text, we travel past the founding of America, past the invention of radio, television, computers, and internet, all the way to where we are in this time, in this place. It seems as though our gospel has happened in a place long ago, much different from where we find ourselves today. But in truth, it is not that different at all. Sure, there are more distractions than there were when those two men traveled along that road. But the God who talked with them has not changed. If you think about it, neither have we. We still get troubled by the things of this world. We still struggle with sin, and we still have doubts about God. And when these things happen, Jesus still comes to us in the same way that he came to those two men. We pray to him, sharing our troubles, expressing our doubts, confessing our fear and sin. And we still hear that same flesh and blood Jesus speak to us as our ministers show us Jesus as the fulfillment of the scripture. We can still hear Jesus as we open our Bibles in our homes, our dorm rooms, listen to him in our cars. And he still comes to us in the same sacraments that he came to the early church in. We are still baptized into the same death and resurrection. And Jesus still makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread. So much has seemed to change, but the amazing thing is that the most important things never change. Meaning, Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now may this unchanging Jesus keep you at peace, in the peace that surpasses all understanding, until he returns for you. Amen.